I'm not sure that I talked to you about a highway patrolman here before, but there was one on Interstate 10 going across 10. How many go across 10? You know what I'm talking about. It has a parkway between it, so you never can see the cops. It's got trees and little hills and everything, and this guy, he looked at his watch. He had the radar on, was sitting up in a little green area, and had his watch, and it was almost 4 o'clock. He said, "Man, I am done." And when he reached up to turn the radar off to get out of there to go back to wherever he went, all of a sudden that radar started going off 100 mile an hour. Bam, 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 bam. And he looked. Coming west was a guy almost 100 mile an hour. And he had to make a quick decision. Either I go home or I go after that guy. But he decided to go after him, and he did. And the closer he got to the guy, the faster the guy went. And finally, up near 120 mile an hour, he finally got beside him and pointed over, and the guy pulled over. And he walked back. He sort of tilted his hat back. He said, "You know, it's already quitting time for me. Now I got to go back and check your tags and everything else." He said, "You know, if you had a good reason for going that fast, I think I'm of a mind to let you go." And the guy looked up really happy. He said, "I've got a good reason." He said, "What is it?" He said, "A month ago, my wife took off with a highway patrolman. I thought that was him bringing her back." can you imagine? I got to read this to you. I found it the other day, so I stole it. "When I go, I would like to go peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not screaming like the other people in his car." Bless your heart. You've been kind. Turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10. My, I'm glad you're here today. Got a lot of things to say. I don't know what I could do to convince you to be back tonight, because some of you are National Guard Christians. You just meet on Sunday morning with the uniform. But I want you to come back tonight. Sunday's not complete until we have the PM service, don't you think? I mean, how in the world else? And tonight I'll be brief. I have a Fruit of the Loom sermon. But I would certainly want you to be here to hear it. I'm going to talk about unity. Can you imagine that in a Baptist church? I'm going to talk about unity. And you don't want to miss it. The word forbearing is the key to the message tonight and to know what it means. So don't you dare forget. Don't you get something else going. Now, if you need somebody to call you, turn to them and say, "Call me about 5. Because some of you are going to sleep right through. I can tell you already started. So make sure that you call and check. When we were in class at Tennessee Temple, Jesse and I went to school, and he was a little bit older than me, but he went to school with my wife some, and we were in a huge, big class. There's probably 200 of us in the class, and the kid next to me fell asleep. This guy just lecturing on like, I'll tell you, it was terrible. I don't know how they kept him there, but he lectured on and on. And the kid next to me, he just died right there. And I nudged him, "Hey, they want you to pray." He jumped up and said, "Our Father in heaven." So that broke up that class. And the dear professor, without missing a beat, he said, "You have something we really need the prayer. Thank you." Turn me to Mark chapter 10. And verse 46, we're going to talk about blindness. And Peggy, are you going to stay awake? Okay, good. I want to check. I know Bob will nudge her if she doesn't. But Bob was my first employer here in Ocala, working for the gas station down there on, on Pine Street. I don't know where we're at on Pine Street, but it was there. I found it every day. And it was good working with Bob and Peggy. And Peggy and my wife taught, and then I ended up teaching here in Marion County. I taught out at Fort McCoy. My wife taught out. Who? Who said that? You're right, East Marion. I forgot they had that here. But anyway, she taught, and I remember I went to Fort McCoy, so right there at at that place with the Silver Springs, you know. I dropped her off there, and a girl going to East Marion would pick Pat up. And if in those days, it was 1969, she had one of those Plymouths with a big fin on the back, you know. And she picked my wife. My wife's very conservative. Man, she looked at that car and said, do I have to get in there? I said, she's going to take East Marion. I'm going to turn north to Fort McCoy. So one day, we had a real hard time there at Fort McCoy. It was the old school, very, very old. And the lady that taught the kindergarten came to me and said, there's a snake in the kindergarten playground. Would you go get it? And she had a lot of trust in me, didn't she? It was a coach whip or a blue racer snake. I saw it. But it's sort of up a twig a little bit, so I got a rake, and I pinned him against that thing, and he crawled up the rake handle and bit me twice. So with that having been accomplished, I grabbed the snake and ran into the library and looked up the cyclopedia to see what I got bit with. And that night I went down to Silver Springs, picked Pat back up from school. That's worse than Peter Piper had to pick up, you know. And she said to me, she said, well, I heard somebody out your school got bit with a snake today. Well, they had bandaged me up, you know. They used that little suction cup and all that bandaged me up. I said, yeah, it was me. She was gone. So, but that's the joy of living in Marion County, amen. I live just outside of Marion. Actually, I only live about a half mile from Marion County down in Dunellen. Right, at Citrus Springs, actually. Maybe some of you know where that is. All right, I want to talk about two kinds of blindness today. There are two. There is a physical blindness, and there is a spiritual blindness. Fortunately, most of us have never been afflicted with physical blindness. I can remember trying to see what it would be like to take my eyes closed and try to walk in a place that I was very familiar with, and I was totally disoriented. So physical blindness is a terrible malady, but spiritual blindness, every one of us in this room have been afflicted with that. And I can recall as a 18-year-old in the military, I was afflicted with spiritual blindness, and I had no idea in the world what one of my cellmates, they call it a barracks, I think, he asked me if I was saved, and I said, man, I'm saved as anybody. I almost drowned last week, but I didn't know what it meant. I had spiritual blindness. Here we find a man. Jesus speaks of him. And what's interesting about this story is this is the last place Jesus stopped before he went to Calvary. Can you imagine? Right after this was the triumphal entry into the city and then his crucifixion. Let me read it to you. It's a wonderful story. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should shut up. Now, the King James way of saying that is, hold your peace. Many charged him he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. Now I picture a guy sitting there with a little cup full of pencils. You know, and there was actually two fellows here at this time, but he only puts the emphasis on the one. But can you picture him with a cup of pencils and everybody telling him to shut up? And then when Jesus stopped and commanded him to be called, they turned to the guy and said, oh, God bless you. Come on. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go anywhere with them. They had just told me to shut up. Now they're saying everything's okey-doke, which is Korean for all right. Now, he said, be of good comfort, rise, he called thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Isn't that a wonderful story? he actually followed him to the crucifixion. Now, this is talking about spiritual blindness. He was physically blind, but he was also spiritually blind. Let me show you five things about this guy I want you to take today. And if you're here today and you're unsaved, there's not a better day than today to give your heart to Christ. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it. I was saved at the age of 23 over in Leesburg at the Shady Grove Camp. And I'm telling you what's the truth. I wasn't there to be saved. I was there to drive a bus. And the bus driver got saved and went off to school and started to preach. But if you're sitting here today and you're not sure Christ in your heart, listen real close to what this guy did. It'll really help you. Number one, this fellow was defective. He had a defect. And you know, with spiritual blindness, none of us feel the defect that will doom us to hell. Have you ever thought about that? You know, when I was 23 and everything was going great, I heard about hell, thought about hell, but I knew there ain't no way I'll ever go there. And yet, if the doors would have opened that day, I'd have been gone. And as you're sitting here today, we don't know what a day may bring forth. So please, young and old, think about it. This guy was defective. Do you have a defect? Would you actually say, sitting here today, well, I'm just not sure. I hope so. I think so. You ought to try that in marriage. I hope so. It's not going to work very long. You either know or you don't know. But if you're sitting here today and you don't know that you're saved, I wish that today would be the day when you would give Christ your heart. This guy did. Look what happened. When he heard that it was Jesus, verse 47, this defective man became desperate. Now, the problem we're having in the 21st century is people are not desperate. How many people came here today out of desperation to know the truth? Most of us sort of came just to, you know, this is where we go on Sunday. And Andy's going to say the same thing every time he takes the offering. And we sort of get used to it, am I right? But there are people who come out of desperation. Last Wednesday night, I was in my son's church in Kernersville, North Carolina. And before church started, a young couple came to me. They were just barely in their 20s. I was sitting up front, sort of in the corner, like Pastor Bloom does. And not a lot of people were in the church, but just a couple came up to me and said, we want to join the church. That doesn't happen every day. I said, you really do? And they were so excited. I said, yeah, man, we can't wait to join the church. I said, did you know there's a couple things need to happen first? I said, oh, we know that. We got saved a week ago. I said, yeah, but there's probably some other thing. Oh, baptism. We got baptized last Sunday night. That's why we want to join tonight. Now, see, they came out of desperation. They really wanted church. Wouldn't you like to meet people like that? I watched this young couple up front. I hate to point you out, but I'm pointing you out. They had held hands while they sang with a hymn book. Some of us have been married 40 years and we even forgot our wife has hands. Except the wash and so on. Okay. So in verse 47, this guy becomes desperate. He hears it's Jesus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He didn't care what people said. Let me ask you to do something for me right now. It's going to be hard for you to do, especially the balcony. You're closer to the ceiling. It's hotter up there. Are you ready? When I count three, I want everybody to say amen. Will you do it? One, two, three. Amen. Boy, that sounds great. Let me try one more. Praise the Lord. On the count of three. Can you do it? Here we go. One, two, three. Do you know how rare that happens in church today? And do you know how good that sounds? Now, I hate to tell you, but I've been coon hunting. And I know what it is to sick a dog on a coon. And I don't say, well, God bless you. Go ahead. It's nothing like that. Man, I got a stick in my hand. The guy behind me has a trumpet, and he's blowing it hard as he can. Trying to get people excited. This guy was desperate. Can you see them marching down this road on the way to Jerusalem? How did they know Jesus was there? I'm going to tell you how they knew. Their kids went with them. You know what happens when everybody goes for a walk? The kids go in front. Am I right? They're throwing stones at each other and everything else and carrying on. And I'm sure that one of them said, did you know that Jesus was with us? That's what got this guy desperate. Jesus, I've heard about him. Did he heal that woman at the well? Didn't he do this? Didn't he do that? Why, he's going to be closer to me in a minute than he's ever been. And you know, as I stand here and preach today, Jesus could be closer to you than he's ever been. That is, if you let him, you see. This guy was desperate, and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of Nazareth. He knew even where the guy was born. Thou son of David, he knew that he was King David's son. That put him in Jewish royalty, amen? He knew all these things, and he cried out and said, have mercy on me. You know the difference between grace and mercy? God saved me by his grace. That means he gave me what I didn't deserve. But he saved me in his mercy, and he didn't give me what I do deserve. So that's the difference between grace and mercy. Here's a guy that says, I don't want hell. I don't want to go there. Please, Jesus, have mercy on me. And I'm hoping somebody here today is that desperate, that you wouldn't want hell as an ultimate end. You say, well, I don't believe in that. So, all right, you go ahead and believe, but I won't be able to meet you. It's just not going to happen that way. So verse 48, Jesus becomes very definite. This defective, desperate man becomes definite. And many charged him and he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David. Listen, when everybody said shut up, don't clap, don't say amen, don't say praise the Lord, he just got louder. Thank God. Boy, is it great to be in a church like that. Amen. Instead of, you know, we call Florida the state of newlyweds and nearly deads. I mean, when everybody in the crowd said, shut up, you know what they were saying? Hey, we're the ones with Jesus, man. Don't mouth off around him. And that's what some people feel. But he cried the more a great deal, and he said, have mercy on me. And when he commanded him to be called, verse 49, Jesus stood still. Hey, let me ask you something. Have you ever dealt with blind people? How many know personally some of those blind? Listen, if you're going to deal with them, you got to go where they are, and you got to be where they are. Jesus knew that this man was blind, not only physically, but spiritually. That's why I'm here today. Jesus stood still. He stopped. Everybody else ran into him. Can you picture it? He stood still and he commanded the shut up crowd to go get him. And God is commanding you and me as born again people today. It's up to us to go get him. They're not going to come. This guy hadn't even gotten to his feet yet, I'm sure. And Jesus turned to the shut up crowd, and some of us do that, and he said, you go get him. And they go to the guy. It really touches me there. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Buddy, I'd grab my pencils and run, wouldn't you? With that kind of an attitude. So we need to have the be of good comfort attitude in our hearts all the time. When we sit down in church and we see someone who is not normally here, and you know them. Man, I left this church 45 years ago, and I see some of you still glued to the same seat. So I know that you're here. But you know who is and who isn't familiar with the place. And if you even have a hint, do what I did to Tina today. Tina, you need a mint. That was terrible, wasn't it? And give them a mint. Give them a piece of gum. Give them something. Say, man, I'm glad you're here. Don't you think that's wonderful? Instead of saying, well, I don't know, then we'll just get on. So they challenged him in verse 49. Rise, he calleth thee. In verse 50, you will not believe what he did. This blind man, he tears his coat from him. Hey, it comes off. He tears his coat from him, and he throws it away, and he goes to Jesus. Now, we got a problem with that. Blind men don't throw things around because they what? They can't go find it. They are very, very orderly people. But why did this guy throw the coat? I'll tell you why. Very simple. He knew if he could get to Jesus, he'd have what it takes to go get the coat. Now, that's the faith that saves people. So this defective, desperate, definite guy suddenly was delivered. Let's see what happens. He rose and came to Jesus, verse 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, what should I do? And boy, that got me mad the first time I read it. I said, come on, Jesus, you know the guy's blind. Why are you asking him? Just do it. Do you ever feel that way when you're reading? Now, I just can't believe it. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want, a loan? I mean, what's the deal? Here's the truth. Jesus never forced himself on anybody. He knew your need before you came to him. And you know what? He didn't make me change before he took me into heaven. Potentially, I'm there. Can you imagine? I did not have to change for Jesus to receive me. He took me just like I was. Amen. Here's a guy blind as a bat, threw his coat away, and he comes to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Look what he says. The blind man said unto him, what's the first word? No man calls him Lord except he be in him. That's what the scripture says. This is the very point where this guy received Christ as his Savior. Lord, I call you Lord. Because you're Lord, I want to receive my sight. If you're my Jesus, you can give me sight. Did you ever feel that way about it? Lord, that I might receive my sight. This defective, desperate, definite guy was right here delivered. Now look at the result. He goes away a delighted guy. Let's watch. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go do what you want to do. Go do what you were going to do. Go do anything. Thy faith hath made thee whole. But I'm going to tell you something. When a blind guy gets his sight, he wants to follow that guy. Don't you think? In the way. Look what it says. And immediately he was saved first and received his sight second. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And look what it says. And immediately after he asked the Lord to receive sight, he received his sight and he what? Followed Jesus in the way. Isn't that wonderful? You know what the Bible says? A little child can lead them. And I wonder, well, here's a guy absolutely delighted. Let me tell you a story. I don't know how much you know about West Virginia and Kentucky, but some of those coal mining towns are pretty rough, pretty old, pretty well beat up. But they have some of the most moral people in the world. The most wonderful mothers you'll ever meet is a woman that sends her husband off before daylight and doesn't see him come home till night. But in this particular home, this man that worked every day in the mines had a little girl that the doctor concluded had leukemia. And it seemed like she got worse every day. Every day he'd come home from work, go through the gate and up the steps and into the house. It was quiet, not like it used to be. And he'd go into her little bedroom and she'd be lying there, 7 years old. And he'd take her hand and say, honey, are you okay today? She said, Daddy, will you take Jesus into your heart? And he'd pat her hand and say, honey, now you know I'm concerned about you. She said, but Daddy, I'm concerned about you. If I go to heaven, I want you to go with me. He said, don't you worry about it, honey. And day after day, he'd come home from work. One day, he got off at the corner from his carpool, and he walked down the street toward his house. As he got to the gate, he counted almost 6 automobiles there. One he recognized as the preacher's. They, several days before, had moved this little girl into the living room, had a hospital bed, and put her in there. She wanted to be able to see out the door. And he saw the cars, everything sitting there. And he came into the house, and this little girl was bad. She said, Daddy, when you go to work tomorrow, will you knock a slat out of that gate so I can see you coming? He said, honey, I'll do it right now. He took a hammer out there and knocked 3 of those slats off the gate. And he looked in and said, all right, can you see? She said, yes, Daddy, thank you. The next day he went off to work. And when he came back, there was the funeral home's car there. The doctor's car was there and some of the relatives. He knew. it would be bad. He opened the gate and went into the door, and there was the mother on the bed, the daughter on the bed, the family standing around. And she grabbed her daddy's hand and she said, "Daddy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God to knock the slats off of the gate so I can see you coming." And he bowed right there on his knee, and the dear preacher rushed in and led her daddy to Christ. And while he held his daughter's hand and asked Christ to save him, she went home to be with the Lord. Now listen, I don't know how desperate you are, but about right now, you ought to run through the gate. You ought to say, "That's what I need is Jesus." Listen, if you can love together and live together, then you can be saved together. You don't have to be saved separate. But some of you need to come and take Christ today as your Savior. Let's stand with our heads bowed, and we're going to sing "Just As I Am Without One Plea." Just as I am without one plea. Now listen, I'm begging you today to consider this. Go ahead, get some organ to play. Where's our organizer? There she is. Play. "Just as I am." Play. I need some background music. Do you know what that song is saying? "Just as I am." Do you know God doesn't want you to change to be saved? Right there where you are. Right there where you are. Will you say, "Yes, I want to come to Jesus. Man, I don't want to be left behind. And if it takes getting saved, I'm ready to come and get saved." Now let's bow in prayer, if you will, while the organ plays. Father, save souls here today. I pray for an abundance of people, young and old, to give their heart to Christ today. Please, Lord, I'm begging you to do it. While our heads are bowed and no one's looking around.